Oh, it's certainly good to see you again, Roger. We haven't really talked in a long while.
No, I've been busy building the church.
I see that you've been teaching on prophecy these days.
I sure am. Why, prophecy's one of the most important subjects of the day. I think you really have to know prophecy to teach the Bible in all its fullness.
Well, I'm certain that you've studied the issues through and through. I know you don't have any desire to teach anything false, and prophecy's no exception.
I must say, John, old boy, that when it comes to prophecy, I'm way ahead of you. Your Reformation friends may have really studied the doctrines of salvation in the church, but when it comes to prophecy, well, we have just got the best of you there. We've studied the issues thoroughly. We've left no stone unturned, so to speak.
You've really got it all together, then, in the area of prophecy.
Without a doubt. You know, they really didn't get into prophecy during the Reformation. It's only been in the last 150 years or so that the study of prophecies really moved into the light for a change.
Fascinating. Tell me more.
In fact, we've built quite a sizable church because we really understand prophecy. We've got answers, and we let everyone know it, and they come. And when they hear, then they understand. Why, I'll bet if you learned prophecy from us, it would change your church.
Well, from what you've been telling me, I'm sure it would. But please, do go on and tell me more.
Gladly. Now, of course, I can't tell you everything at once. It's far too complicated to explain briefly. Well, there are dispensations and all. Take a series of discussions.
I see, but certainly we could talk about some basic aspect of your doctrine of prophecy. I mean something fundamental, some basic upon which the remainder of your understanding rests.
I'm not certain what you mean.
For example, in the area of the doctrine of salvation. You know, we could talk about the death of Christ. How we interpreted the death of Christ would be fundamental to our understanding of other areas of salvation.
Now I see what you mean. In other words, what are the basics upon which all else depends?
Yes, that's it.
Well, I'd have to say right off that the biggest area of disagreement between us is our method of interpretation of the Bible.
Then we must start with interpretation.
That's right. It's in interpretation that we differ.
But I'm not certain we differ yet. Now, do you mean to say that we must look first at how we interpret the Bible?
That's just it. It's how we interpret that will make the difference in what we believe.
Well put. And I agree. The most important consideration at the outset is to decide how we will interpret the Bible. I mean, what method of interpretation we'll use.
Exactly.
So then, what is your method?
We use the literal method. Of course, recognizing that the Bible uses figures of speech at times.
So you would say that you interpret the Bible literally?
Well, with the exceptions I've mentioned, of course. Sometimes, to avoid misunderstanding, we say we interpret according to the plain or normal meaning.
The plain or normal meaning. I'm not sure what you mean by that. Maybe you could explain that a little more.
Ah, my pleasure. To put it more technically and exactly, we use the grammatical historical method of interpretation.
Certainly sounds impressive. What does it mean?
Well, we understand the words to mean what they did historically when the Bible was written. You know, their normal meaning. And that the Bible follows the rules of grammar.
You mean you must pay attention to the meaning of words and that you must attend to the grammar of the text?
Yeah, that's it.
Sounds good. Sounds like you're interpreting the Bible just like any other book.
Excellent. Some of our own people have said it just that way. Why, at the rate you're understanding, it won't be long until you're in our camp.
Well, perhaps. Just one thing I'm not certain of yet.
What is it?
Well, how it is that the Bible is just like any other book?
Well, of course, it's different from every other book in some ways. It's the Word of God, the Revelation.
Does that mean that the Bible, for instance, reveals to us a true and correct doctrine of man?
Absolutely. God reveals to us the true doctrine of man in the Bible.
And nowhere else?
No. If other sources tell us something about the nature of man, we can accept what they say only if it's consistent with Scripture.
So the Bible is our ultimate source of authority?
Oh, of course.
And we want to be biblical in all that we think and say and do?
Absolutely.
And, of course, we want to be absolutely biblical in our method of interpretation.
Well, I'd think so.
Well, very well. As long as we agree that we're to use a biblical method of interpretation, I'm with you. But if we find somewhere along the way that we're interpreting the Bible in contradiction to its own interpretation of itself, then we must change our method to fit the biblical method. Agreed?
Agreed.
Good. I think we've agreed on this point. Now to proceed. Have you got an example that we might discuss?
I'm glad you proposed that. An example would be best. We can get right down to the facts.
Right. What do you propose?
Well, let's look at Israel and the church.
All right. And what about it?
That Israel is Israel, and the church is the church. We have the key to biblical prophecy if we keep that distinction in mind. It's when we get the two confused that we cloud the issue.
You mean that Israel and the church are two distinct peoples?
Exactly. The plain, normal meaning of Israel is Israel, the Old Testament people of God, the descendants of Jacob.
And the church?
The church is different. The church is the people of God in the New Testament, a totally different group.
Now, Am I understanding you rightly? Is this a fundamental issue?
Fundamental issue? This is it. Why, all of our understanding is based on this all-important difference between the two groups. Even our own most learned scholars say that this is so. I mean, I'm not one of them, but I follow their teaching most closely.
And just what doctrines depend on this distinction?
Why, just about all of prophecy. The pre-tribulation rapture, where Christ returns secretly to take the church up into the heavens with him. The premillennial view of the future kingdom, Christ reigning on earth after the second coming for 1,000 years. All these doctrines, they all rest on this distinction between the church and Israel.
Now, let me thoroughly understand. You're saying that if Israel and the church are totally distinct groups, that we can establish the pre-tribulation rapture and the 1,000-year millennium?
Oh, exactly. Much more.
Well, we'll get to that presently. But, of course, if our grammatical historical method cannot support this absolute distinction between Israel and the church, then we need look no further. We cannot support these doctrines of the pre-trib rapture and the 1,000-year personal physical reign of Christ on earth.
That would be true.
Ah, now I begin to see. It's of supreme importance that we examine this distinction, then, to see if the Bible teaches it.
Yes, and I'm confident that you will find it to be so.
Well, all right. If we find this distinction to be the case, then I'll certainly be willing to follow you into these other doctrines. That is, if they proceed from and depend on this distinction we've been discussing.
Well, we can show the connection.
Excellent. But first, we must settle a few preliminary matters that prove confusing to me at the moment. I'm sure that you can clarify without any difficulty.
Go on.
All right. Perhaps a look at some passages not under our consideration might be of some help to me. For example, let's look at John 3:3. Here's what it says in my King James Bible. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Yes. Yeah, I have it now.
Good. What does he mean, born again?
Oh, he means one must have a spiritual birth. One must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit.
You mean he's not referring to another physical birth?
Oh, how silly. Of course not. He's speaking figuratively here, not literally. Why, such an interpretation as you suggest would be absurd.
Oh, yes, now I see it. Nicodemus asks him that question in the next verse. It says here, Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?
You see it now. Nicodemus misunderstands entirely the point of our Lord is making.
Yes, I can see that. But he's interpreting literally, of course.
All right. But remember I said we do recognize the use of figures of speech?
Yes, I remember that. So you are interpreting the Lord's statements spiritually.
Well, actually, figuratively.
You mean he's using physical birth as a symbol of spiritual birth?
Yeah.
Then you are interpreting symbolically.
Well, you could say that in a manner of speaking.
But he is referring to a spiritual event.
Yeah.
And not a physical event.
No.
Then it is a spiritual interpretation.
Well, in a sense, I suppose so.
Oh, very well. So in this case, we're not to interpret literally.
No.
Are you certain?
Well, of course.
Why?
Well, Christ clearly interprets it in a symbolic way.
So the Bible has given us the interpretation?
Yes. In verse 6, Jesus says, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
Then the text is given its own interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's ultimately where you got your understanding for the new birth.
Yes, but any other view would be absurd. A man can't enter into his mother's womb a second time.
Well, someone didn't think the idea was absurd. Somebody considered that interpretation.
Oh, whoever seriously considered physical birth here. I know of no interpreter that ever held such an obviously wrong view or even entertained it.
Well, apparently Nicodemus did. He thought Jesus might be saying that.
Nicodemus, of course.
Well, what is different about Nicodemus? He was no dummy, was he? I mean, even Jesus says he was a ruler of the Jews. We know he was a Pharisee, a learned religious leader of his day, and he didn't realize this spiritual interpretation.
Well, in any case, he was wrong.
But he was trying to be literal.
Well, here's a case where literal just doesn't work.
But the only reason you and I don't know that for sure. Is because we've Jesus' explanation to set us straight. Otherwise, we would, or at least might, try to interpret the statement literally, especially if we were trying to use the plain meaning as our consistent method.
I suppose.
Well, perhaps another text would help. Let's look at John chapter 2, verses 18 to 21. Now, here in my Bible it says, Then Jesus answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body.
What's the problem? It seems plain enough to me.
Well, my question is, could Jesus have reconstructed the temple in Jerusalem in 3 days, as he said?
Why, of course, but that's not the meaning of the passage. If you will just look at the last statement, you will see that he's really referring to his own body, which would be resurrected 3 days after his death. That's clear.
But that doesn't answer my question. Could he have reconstructed the temple if the Jews had destroyed it?
Well, of course he could, but that's not the point of the passage.
Well, I'm a little slow, I admit, so just bear with me until I fully understood. Would I be right if I said that reconstructing a destroyed Jerusalem temple would have been no difficulty for Christ?
No problem, but you're still missing the point.
You mean there would be nothing absurd about the idea of the temple being destroyed
and
Jesus rebuilding it in 3 days?
No, but that's beside the point.
Well, all right, but you say that by the temple, Christ means his own body, and he doesn't mean the literal Jerusalem temple.
No, I'm not saying that. The Bible is. You can read it for yourself.
Well, how are the listeners interpreting his statement about rebuilding the temple?
Well, they think he's speaking about the Jerusalem temple.
You mean they're understanding the statement in its grammatical, historical context? They're taking the plain, normal meaning?
Plain to them, I guess.
Plain to them? Wait a minute. Now I am confused. I thought you said that we used the plain meaning, plain to everyone. Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And now you're saying that there's a difference in plainness, in normalness, that what may be plain to one is not plain to another, and vice versa.
I suppose.
But there was no plainness difference to the Jews. They all understood Jesus to be speaking about the Jerusalem temple.
True.
So they all had the same literal, plain, normal meaning for the word temple.
Yeah.
And grammatically, historically, the word temple referred to the physical temple at Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And if you'd been there at the time, I mean, in the crowd listening to the words of Jesus, you would have applied your grammatical, historical method of interpretation, just as the Jews did.
Well, yeah, I suppose.
And you would have come to the same conclusion, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
Maybe. You rejected Nicodemus' interpretation of the new birth, not only because Jesus interpreted it differently, but because the idea of another physical birth appeared absurd to you.
True.
But now the idea of Jesus rebuilding the temple, that the Jerusalem temple, in 3 days, is not quite so absurd. You said yourself only moments ago that he could rebuild it easily, and that it certainly was a reasonable alternative. It wasn't outside the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
And so, having no reason not to apply the grammatical historical method, you would have applied it according to your rule. You would have taken the plain normal meaning, just as the Jews did.
But the text says that he spoke of his body.
But you wouldn't have had the text, would you?
No.
And he didn't bother to explain it to the Jews, did he?
Well, apparently not. The remark is made by the Apostle John to the reader. It's not a statement made by Jesus to the Jews.
So Jesus just left the Jews with their misunderstanding, with their misinterpretation.
Yes.
And that would have been your interpretation according to the plain normal method.
Yes.
And you would have been wrong.
Yes.
Then it seems we have a dilemma.
How so?
Well, it seems this passage brings up a crucial question for the use of our grammatical historical method.
Which is?
Well, how do we know when to take the plain normal meaning and when to interpret figuratively, symbolically, or spiritually?
Hmm. I see your point. I suppose context has to tell us.
What do you mean?
Well, in the two cases we've looked at so far, the text has interpreted for us.
You mean the text has interpreted itself for us?
Yeah, after a manner of speaking.
Well, say it plainly.
Well, the Bible has interpreted itself for us.
So then the procedure is this, as I see it, and correct me if I'm wrong. When we go to the text, we are to use the grammatical historical method. But every time we use that method, the plain normal method, we must be asking ourselves this question. Should we use this method or not? And the answer to that question is found by seeing if the Bible gives us the interpretation itself. Perhaps the Bible's interpretation of itself will not be plain and normal, according to our understanding of plain and normal.
I think that's a fair summary so far.
And we cannot use apparent absurdity as our judge. I mean, what seems absurd to us, for sometimes the reasonable, plain, normal interpretation is the wrong one, even though just everybody thinks it's right.
True.
Well, that's a lot to say. Maybe we can reduce what we've said to something simpler.
Well, that would be helpful.
Let's just think this thing through. From what we've said so far, we can never be certain that our plain, normal interpretation is correct unless the text tells us.
I'm not sure I agree. Explain.
Well, for example, in the case of the temple, unless the text told us differently, we would interpret the temple as the Jerusalem temple.
True, if we're consistent in the application of our method.
Okay, now when we come to another passage, we might want to interpret it according to the plain, normal method.
Okay.
But, of course, we might be wrong.
Certainly.
And then we would have to see if the Bible interpreted the passage for us.
Yeah.
We would have to make that search in every case.
Yeah.
Because without it, we wouldn't know for sure if our plain, normal interpretation was the correct one.
True.
So then in every case, to be certain, we need the Bible's interpretation of the passage in question.
That's right.
Well, then it would seem more biblical to start with what is certain, the Bible's interpretation of itself, and then see if that interpretation is plain and normal or figurative.
I see. You're applying the broadest and most determinative test first.
Exactly. I mean, it's not of ultimate importance to us whether a passage is to be interpreted literally or symbolically. What is most important is that our interpretation be the same as the Bible's.
Of course.
And we've seen that the rule of plain and normal, except when obviously figurative, cannot interpret for us, since the question, plain or figurative, is the very question and not the very answer.
Well, what you're saying is true. Plain or figurative won't help much when we have no way of telling which is which. And if we have a way, then the method is irrelevant.
Yes, whether the passage is literal or figurative is beside the point. We can only know whether it is literal or figurative once we have determined the meaning. Then the question is only of passing interest since we've determined the interpretation by other means.
But you're not saying that no passages are plain and normal, are you?
Well, certainly not, but tell me, do all interpreters agree on what is literal and what is symbolic?
No, that's our big difference.
But some passages we all understand in what you call a plain and normal sense. I mean, many passages are not at issue between us.
That's true.
So then it is the passages in question that concern us.
Right.
And in those passages, it is the plainness and normalness that we disagree on.
Yeah.
And so the plainness of the thing is not so plain after all.
No, I guess not.
And of course, the normal interpretation cannot be the correct one in these disputed passages.
Now, I don't follow you here. Why not?
Well, the normal interpretation would be the same as the standard interpretation. Normal means standard.
True.
But in the disputed passages, we have no standard interpretation. In fact, we disagree. And the greater the disagreement, the less of a standard we have. For if we had a standard, there would be no disagreement.
I'm still not sure I follow. Can you make this more concrete? How about an example?
Well, how about the new birth idea we looked at in John 3? What's the normal interpretation of born again?
Why, spiritual birth.
Exactly. And are we all agreed there?
Well, almost every interpreter. I'm certain everyone.
And so if you come to the text of John 3 and you interpret the new birth as a spiritual event, you are interpreting normally. I mean, you're taking the normal interpretation, the interpretation people normally take.
Yeah.
And that interpretation is figurative.
Yeah, the new birth isn't physical.
And so the figurative, symbolic interpretation is the normal one.
Right.
And it is plain that the figurative interpretation is the correct one.
Mm-hmm.
Then the figurative interpretation is the plain, normal one.
Right.
Well, now I am confused. These ideas of plain, normal, figurative, and symbolic seem to have lost their distinctiveness somehow.
Yeah, this whole discussion has become somewhat confusing.
I agree. Well, we seem to have seen that literal is not always normal, and that plain is not always literal, that spiritual is sometimes plain, and that spiritual is sometimes normal.
I must say, I'm not sure just how to proceed at this point.
Well, perhaps we'd best sleep on it. We can continue tomorrow.
Good idea. See you then.